The following episode contains mentions of sexual assault. Listener discretion is advised.
A lot of people actually have disorders and they don't even know. You might actually be friends with people who have disorders and they just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Mental health is part of everyone's health. Your brain actually is part of your mental health. Just the way you feel in your day-to-day life, that's mental health. The way you're brought up, that's mental health. Even your education is mental health, because you learn, and then what you learn from your school is what you do in life, and what you do in life leads to consequences, and then that affects your mental health.
Did you know that people who have PCOS are 3 times more likely to experience anxiety and depression? Soch mein pad gaye? Behtareen. That's kind of the point of this podcast. We want to make you think. Think about science, think about the world, and most importantly, think about your body. And then we bring on experts to give you the correct answers and to make you laugh. And today we have with us an expert in the field of mental health. Today we're speaking to Divija, who is known as Awkward Goat on Instagram. Hi, Divija.
Hi.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks.
So, Divija, tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do?
So, I'm a counseling psychologist by profession, and I also make content on Instagram.
Very cool. When you're saying counseling psychologist, I feel like I'm a little confused because I don't exactly know what that means, because there's so many terms you hear, you know, like a therapist hai, counseling psychologist, counseling psychiatrist. Is this the same psychiatrist, psychologist? What is the difference? Like, I don't think I understand this.
That's understandable because we don't really get this information anywhere, barely on social media as well, if you think about it.
Yeah.
So, even though this field hasn't really developed a lot in India, there's still quite a few divisions in the type of work people do in this field. So, let's start with psychiatrists. Those are medical doctors, and usually if you go to a psychiatrist, you'll probably get medication as treatment because that's their primary form of treating people.
Okay.
Therapy and counseling are used interchangeably in India, at least. Mm-hmm. So, when somebody says, I'm going to a counselor, they also mean they're going to a therapist. Basically, a mental health professional who does therapy.
So, what's the difference otherwise, since you mentioned it's the same in India?
So, therapy is like psychotherapy, actually, the word.
Mm-hmm.
There are different forms of psychotherapy, like CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy, or DBT, which is dialectical behavior therapy. So, these are all types of therapy.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
And so, when you say you're a counseling
psychologist, So, mental health professionals.
Mm-hmm.
There's psychiatrists who are medical doctors.
Mm-hmm.
There's counseling psychologists,
mm-hmm.
what I am. And then there's clinical psychologists.
Okay.
So this is not a hierarchy. These are all equal. They all work together to help people. A counseling psychologist and a clinical psychologist are not medical doctors. If you go to them, you will not get medication
mm-hmm.
as treatment. You will get therapy and counseling, which is talk therapy, like they'll talk to you. People who have disorders or diagnosed with clinical disorders, they can go to a clinical psychologist or a psychiatrist. You can be treated with or without medication. That is why you can go to either of them. You don't have to take medication. It depends on you and your concerns and the disorder that you have. Some disorders that you can get treated for could be OCD, which is obsessive compulsive disorder. Depression, that is a real disorder, even though we continuously say, oh, I'm depressed in day-to-day life. It's actually a disorder.
Yeah.
Then anxiety disorders also exist. Even though a lot of us have anxiety, it's not always a disorder. So that brings me to, if you have anxiety, who should you go to? You can go to a counseling psychologist also for this, because counseling psychologists are trained to help you with day-to-day life struggles or just problems in general that don't really mean that you have a disorder. For example, relationship problems or even trauma and sexual abuse. If you have a disorder, then you should go to a clinical psychologist or a psychiatrist. Usually all of these people work together and have contact, so you can actually go to any of them and they'll refer you out in case they're not trained to help you.
Interesting. So if I'm understanding this right, for somebody, say, who's not been diagnosed with a mental illness, they can go to a counseling psychologist for day-to-day regular life stuff.
Yeah.
If they have a mental illness and they want to do just talk therapy, then they can go to a clinical psychologist.
Yeah.
And then if they have a mental illness and they're using, you know, talk therapy and they also want to add medication, then they can go to a psychiatrist.
Yeah. And also a psychiatrist and a clinical psychologist both can diagnose you officially. So if you need a report, You can go to a clinical psychologist. It doesn't always have to be a psychiatrist.
Okay, and clinical psychologists are not medical doctors?
No, but they work in the hospital. Even counseling psychologists work in the hospital. So we're all healthcare professionals, actually.
Oh, very, very cool.
Yeah.
I'm finding this very interesting because, you know, we don't get these definitions at all.
Yeah. I just want to tell everyone who's listening to this that you can't be a psychologist without doing psychology. So you need at least a master's in psychology to practice as a counseling psychologist. A clinical psychologist also has an MPhil apart from a master's.
Oh.
So you might see a lot of therapists on Instagram who don't have any background in psychology. Those are not real therapists.
I'm so glad you touched upon that because so often we see all of these conflicting messages on Instagram in particular, since that's both of our primary platform, that ye hota hai and iska mental health kharab ho gaya hai. And there's just no right messaging. And that all ties back to the fact that the mental health hota kya hai.
So mental health is not just for crazy people or people who have disorders, because people think that people who have disorders are crazy. First of all, no, they're not crazy. They're just normal people like you and me, everyone who's listening. A lot of people actually have disorders and they don't even know. You might actually be friends with people who have disorders and they just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Mental health is part of everyone's health. Your brain actually is part of your mental health. Just the way you feel in your day-to-day life, that's mental health. The way you're brought up, that's mental health. Even your education is mental health, because you learn, and then what you learn from your school is what you do in life, and what you do in life leads to consequences, and then that affects your mental health.
Something we often forget, what you do in life leads to consequences. I feel like this is, for me personally, how I think of it, and I don't know if this helps anybody, is that when you think of joint health, matlab aisa nahi hai ki aap sirf joint health ke bare mein tab sochenge jab aapko fracture ho gaya hai na, ki abhi mera joint health kharab hai. How your joints behave in day-to-day life, aapko chalne firne mein jodon mein dard hai ki nahi. Or when you wake up, are you feeling stiffness in your joints? Are they feeling flexible? Are they feeling nimble? That's the bada wala angrezi word. So what does bad mental health mean in that way then?
So bad mental health might look different for everyone. So the thing about psychology and mental health is that there is no one thing that applies to everyone. For example, if I'm not having good mental health, maybe I'll be in bed all day and crying and eating a lot. But maybe if you're having bad mental health, you'll be working 24/7 and looking as productive as anyone else. That doesn't mean that your mental health is fine. Mental health is how you're feeling. And if you're not feeling okay, you will know. You will know in your heart that you're not feeling okay. So I can't really define what is bad mental health, because it's different for everyone. And now if I say that bad mental health is your food habits getting affected, maybe for someone they don't get affected.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to define it. It's just, you just know you're not doing okay.
I appreciate that nuance, because I understand that a lot of people who talk about these things are coming from a place of passion, but maybe that is a little misplaced, because unko sahi se facts nahi pata hai.
Yeah.
To wo kuch aisi cheeze bol dete hain jo shayad sach na ho. So in the same way, like, how did you end up on this place? How did you go onto social media, since you mentioned you are a counseling psychologist? I'm learning. So since you mentioned you're a counseling psychologist, you're also an Instagram influencer or an educator. I don't know what you'd like to label yourself as. So how did this sort of evolution come about? How did you decide to go into this space and make this kind of content?
So this is going to sound really cheesy, but I've always been passionate about mental health, because like my mom always would talk about mental health and talk about parenting. She used to read a lot on psychology. In her time, this field wasn't really a thing in India. So, but she was really interested, and because she was interested, I got interested. And there's a lot of people in my family and my close friends who have disorders. And while growing up, I was a kid, I didn't know much about disorders. But I saw that they went to therapists and psychiatrists and got better. And I realized that, see, they're aware and they're going. They didn't know that you can actually get professional help. What would they have done? I know what happens when people don't go to professional therapists. I can see a lot of damage happening to people who don't go. And it's really sad. So I think that anyone who's a psychologist, their job isn't to just provide therapy to their own clients, but also to provide awareness. And like I said, I noticed the lack of awareness around me. People say a lot of things in my day-to-day life to me also as a joke. Like they'll be like, oh, paglo ki doctor hai ye. They say, this is the first thing everybody says. Oh, mujhe case mat bana dena, mere upar experiments mat karna. You know, these are all like jokes, but I can sense the stigma. So That's why I make videos. People will be scrolling, they'll be looking at random reels, and they'll come across a video. Even if they don't care about mental health, maybe they'll see the words mental health and it'll go into their mind. And then they'll be like, okay, it's a thing. At least then they'll know it's a thing. That's basically why I started making videos. I mean, I randomly started making videos. This was not the point. But I realized that because of my videos, people do think about mental health. And that's when I started getting reinforced, like, wow, this is a really good way to spread awareness without having to get out of my room. I'm a lazy person. So I can reach so many people and talk about mental health from my bedroom. So yeah.
Fantastic. Lazy and efficient. I love it. So I find it very interesting that you use the word stigma. Mm-hmm. And this is something you and I have in common between us, because mera bhi bahut sara aise social media journey happened because of this stigma situation.
Mm-hmm.
Ki it's something we all experience. Like, mental health is something we all experience. Sexual and reproductive health is something we all experience. But hota sabke paas hai, dikhata koi nahi hai.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting because iske itne actual physical manifestations hote hain, no? Because they're so linked together. For example, if we take something like vaginismus, what might feel like it's a sexual health issue on top actually is a mental health issue underlying. So for people who don't know what vaginismus is, by the way, it's a condition just mein involuntarily, yani ki without your control, your vaginal muscles, they just clamp shut. I've heard it described as a Venus flytrap, which I find very cool. If there's any kind of penetration that's about to happen, chahe wo tampon ho, chahe wo medical instrument ho, chahe wo penis ho, you know, people can experience different physical reactions to this. And people with vaginismus in particular struggle with underlying fear or some just weird feelings about the idea of penetration.
Mm-hmm.
That can come from background, matlab childhood, family mein agar aapne, if you've heard about sex in a very negative way, or if you have any sexual assault, which I feel like something which is a very important conversation we always miss out on. Yeah, infection bhi ho gaya na, to kabhi kabhi as a defense mechanism your body can do it. So I'm not saying it's entirely mental as well. I'm saying physical bhi hai, but mental health and sexual health are so just strongly intertwined that we need to start seeing health maybe as a more holistic thing, as opposed to ki ye udhar ka department hai, ye idhar ka department hai, you know. So how does shame play into, just as in this case shame is playing into physical manifestations, how does shame play into mental health and uska diagnosis and uska treatment access?
So firstly, we see shame as a very primary emotion in a lot of the clients that come to us. Shame comes in many experiences. For example, you said sexual abuse. Shame and guilt and regret is a huge part of that. You know, a lot of people who experience sexual abuse, they blame themselves because they've been taught that they are the ones at fault. I'm not just talking about girls, by the way. Everyone who experiences sexual abuse, by the way, it's so common. People just think only girls experience it. But most of the guys that come to me as clients have actually experienced sexual abuse, so it's actually very common. But nobody talks about it. We don't hear boys talk about it because of the shame, you know, the whole angle of, oh, they have to be strong. Which brings me to another fact, that people think that if you talk about your struggles, you're weak and that you can't handle it and that you're not strong. But the truth is that everyone struggles, you know. There might be all this shame around it, but every single person has struggled with their mental health at some point. Nobody has a perfect life, and it's a very normal reaction. It's a human reaction to not be okay when something bad happens. That's probably because our body needs time to deal with whatever changes happen or something traumatic happens. If we kept going about our personal life like normally after something traumatizing happened, we wouldn't be dealing with it. We would just be ignoring it.
Mm.
So that's probably why we slow down or go in the opposite direction. Something changes when something bad happens.
And change is not always bad. I'm finding it very interesting that you've used those two particular parts, because in my personal example, I found that I have a history of childhood sexual assault. And every time I talk about it, my mom gets so uncomfortable. She's like, "Kyun bol rahi ho? Kyun bata rahi ho logo ko? It's a bad thing." Wo shame itna, matlab, in her brain, it's so strongly ingrained. And bless her heart, my mom has done excellent things in the way she raised me and making me a confident person. But her shame is so deeply rooted in her that she kind of tends to transfer it onto me. And in a similar way, every time I talk about my therapy. So whenever I take therapy, I'm quite vocal about talking about it because I feel like therapy has done wonderful things for me, especially in regards to this particular instance of childhood sexual assault. ये दोनों बातें मम्मी को पचती नहीं है कि तुमने बाहर जाके बोला क्यों ये. You know that whole shame angle. And are you seeing that maybe more and more people are moving towards therapy, or am I living in some sort of a bubble?
Okay, so I recently started a mental health organization, and I didn't think that many people would come. But honestly, so many people take therapy. I can't even tell you. It's huge. It's surprising to know that so many people are open to therapy. It's not just that I am influencing them into taking therapy or something. They're open to it. It's a personal journey, right? You don't just go and take therapy randomly. You think about it and do it. And I think that people don't take therapy because nobody talks about it. You know, all these people who are coming to us, they're not telling other people they're taking therapy, but they're taking therapy. That's why we think therapy is not a common thing, or that like everybody hates it, and that it's something that nobody goes to. A lot of people take therapy.
This is so encouraging. I'm so happy to hear this. Main mummy ko pakka jaake bataungi. Maybe she'll feel a little bit less weird about it.
One thing, you know, a lot of young people actually come to us for their parents.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's very common for us to see like people of our age paying for their parents' therapy, and their parents are actually open to it. So I think you should tell your mother that.
That is fantastic. मैंने मम्मी को बोला ना कि मम्मी आपको थेरेपी लेना चाहिए, मुझे चप्पल लेके दौड़ेंगी बोलेंगी तुम हमें पागल समझती हो. Like, you know, she comes from a very positive mental health attitude in general, but there's some things जो इतनी strongly ingrained है इनके generation में, क्या हमारे culture में, as humanity, हमारे culture में इतने
जोर से ingrained है. It's not just our culture, you know, it's everywhere. It's just human beings are scared to speak. We think that people will take it, they will take it against us, and then they'll think we're not nice.
And then this labeling na ki pagal hain, damaged hain, inke sath aisa kuch hua hai, that's why they need treatment.
Yeah, it's like pushing them out of the society. It actually comes from those years of people being thrown into mental asylums and getting tied up and treated with electric shocks or whatever. I think it comes from that thing is still, I mean, we don't do that anymore, it's illegal, but it's still a part of our culture somewhere.
Fear.
Yeah.
Fear is an oddly motivating and isolating factor in so many of these conversations. And it's so surprising that you're bringing a different aspect of it in my eyes, that so many people do it. But for me, it's very bizarre that so many people are actually accessing it because of the common representations. We see that therapy is jinko koi problem hai, wahi karate. We always see that. And in a similar, I think, problem, maybe it's sort of self-perpetuating in this regard. लोग थेरेपी कराते हैं कोट एंड कोट, या चलो कराने की अगर बात ही आई तो पैसा कहाँ से आया, बिकॉज थेरेपी कैन बी सो एक्सपेंसिव. एंड यू नो आई डोंट थिंक आई वुड हैव बीन एबल टू अफोर्ड इट व्हेन आई वाज यंगर. सो व्हाट आर सम गुड वेज ऑफ फाइंडिंग गुड रिसोर्सेज? कैन यंग पीपल फाइंड दिस इफ दे डोंट हैव अ लॉट ऑफ मनी?
अ लॉट ऑफ पीपल आस्क मी दिस क्वेश्चन एंड इट जस्ट मेक्स मी सैड, बिकॉज यू नो देयर आर अ लॉट ऑफ हेल्पलाइंस आउट देयर इन इंडिया, एंड देयर आर अ लॉट ऑफ पीपल गिविंग फ्री थेरेपी ऑल्सो, बट I don't think that this system can work without the service provider getting paid.
Yeah.
You know, like even doctors, they get paid even if they're doing pro bono work, they're getting paid from their other patients. So I don't have any answer. There is no place that I would personally recommend for young people to go, because I haven't seen any good place that I would actually vouch for, which is getting funded, which is not exploiting the therapist. There is no such place, unfortunately. I think we need to figure out a way, the way the medical system works, subsidizing it, the government investing in it. Now, there is no mental health awareness in our country, and that is probably why the government doesn't incentivize it, because they don't care.
So are there any sarkari policies at all into this?
Recently, there was this news about insurance covering mental health, but they only cover it if you are admitted into the hospital for 24 hours. Now, that only happens in really extreme cases. Okay, fun fact, counseling psychology, my title, counseling psychologist, it's not a protected title by the government. They only think that clinical psychologists should be treating clients. So now, thankfully, there is a new commission being set up, which is going to recognize counseling psychologists as a thing. Actually, they said that they'll be recognizing it 2 years ago. Nothing has happened. And I honestly...
In true sarkari fashion.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to happen, because everybody in our country thinks that only crazy people or people with disorders go to mental health professionals, and that not everyone has mental health.
And what's also fascinating to me is that I read somewhere which was very impactful for me personally, that since you're saying this thing about ki you don't have to be ill to go to a therapist, ki there's something like hygiene. मतलब आपको घर में पेस्ट ट्रीटमेंट करने के लिए यू डोंट हैव टू हैव कॉकरोचेस इन योर हाउस. आप पहले से भी प्रीएम्प्टिवली करा सकते हैं ताकि कॉकरोच ना आए, आपका खाना ना खाए. एंड द सेम वे यू डोंट हैव टू बी इल टू गो टू अ थेरेपिस्ट, राइट? यू डोंट हैव टू बी सिक टू गो टू अ जॉइंट डॉक्टर. यू जस्ट डिसाइड टू डू एक्सरसाइज तो यू गो टू अ जॉइंट डॉक्टर, सी इफ एवरीथिंग इज ओके एंड स्टार्ट डूइंग एक्सरसाइज. द सेम वे यू डोंट हैव टू बी मेंटली इल टू सी अ थेरेपिस्ट. यू कैन जस्ट डू इट एज अ हाइजीन प्रैक्टिस. एंड आई फाउंड दैट वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग, where instead of treating mental illnesses, we are treating and prioritizing mental hygiene. And it's so radical as a concept, because pehle paisa to hai nahi hamare paas, bahut bahut mehenga hai. And obviously, yeah, I completely agree with the fact that people have to be paid, need to be paid. That's the only way society will and can run.
That's the only way psychologists will be interested in the career. Let's be honest, everybody thinks of scope when they look at their career.
Absolutely.
And if there is no money, people, that's why you don't see that many psychologists. They think nobody will pay.
And also, like, nobody owes anybody anything for free, right? मतलब सबको पैसा मिलना चाहिए भैया. आप काम कर रहे हो तो आपको you should be paid your due. But of course, it's that's a whole different and very difficult conversation to have कि कैसे fair and accessible therapy करनी है. But अगर पैसा हो तो करो यार ये. मतलब this is I feel like this is one of the things we can do in investing into our health. We do so many things into investing into our health. You know, we'll put oil diffusers and put wellness and all of that, and we'll be like हम ये वाला मसाज करेंगे and ये वाला self care ritual करेंगे. And absolutely, I'm not shitting on anybody who goes through these things, chooses to do these things, because self care means different things, and you know, mental pampering I suppose means different things to different people. But it's such a simple thing you can do to invest in your health and your future. But another problem that, aside from all of the other mountain of problems we've discussed, that comes up here is, how do you find a good therapist? How do you decide that this is working for me? And either badiya, either you can, you know, keep going for it. Because I'm a healthcare provider. I had no idea that there's all of these classifications. Main abhi bhi bhool ja rahi hoon tum. क्या हो मतलब आई नो तुम दिव्या हो बट कौन सी वाली हो तुम, यू नो. सो हाउ डू वी डिसाइड कि मुझे इसके पास जाना है? एंड व्हाट इज, लेट्स पुट इट दिस वे, व्हाट आर सम ग्रीन फ्लैग्स इन अ गुड थेरेपिस्ट?
One green flag would be their qualifications. Like I mentioned, they have to have a master's at least in psychology. Another interesting thing is that a lot of psychiatrists in our country provide therapy, but they have no qualification to provide therapy. They don't do any courses. They just know the psychiatric part of it, but they think they're qualified to provide therapy. So, and they also look down upon other therapists like counseling psychologists, because they think they're above them. So the problem is not just in people from outside the profession, it's also in the profession itself. They themselves don't think therapy is important. For example, there's a lot of hospitals that have this psychiatry department. You will not find psychologists there, because they don't think therapy is important. They think medicine do and kaam khatam.
But I also sort of, sorry to interject, but I also feel like it's very important to say medicines are very helpful and work wonders for a lot of people. And there's no shame in taking medicine, but sorry, yes, go on.
Medicine that is really necessary for a lot of disorders. People cannot exist normally without those medicines. But a lot of people also don't need medicines. You can also treat disorders. Not treat, I will not use that word. That's too extreme. You can manage disorders with therapy and with other forms of treatment. So a green flag would be to see their experience and their training. Do they have courses in psychology apart from masters? I am going to keep repeating masters being the minimum requirement, because even someone with bachelor's in psychology is not at all qualified to provide therapy. You don't know anything at that level. Trust me, I know, I've studied it. And then if that person is open in front of you, in the sense they let you pace your sessions, they don't ask you intrusive questions in the first session itself, like they don't traumatize you, because you know, when you go to therapy, maybe if you have trauma or you've been through some really bad things or you're grieving, you don't want someone to just start asking you questions about it. You will not know how to deal with it, because the session will probably just be for 45 minutes or 1 hour. What do you do after that, after the first session? So you can actually tell how good a therapist is in just the first session itself. They won't ask you intrusive questions, and they'll actually take 2-3 sessions to strengthen you, empower you with the tools and techniques that you need to manage the things that come with talking about your problem. So that is a green flag you will probably notice in the first session. Apart from that, they'll be open to your feedback. You'll be able to tell openly if you don't like what they're saying or you think they invalidated you in some way, maybe without realizing it. That's a normal thing. They accept it and they will work on it. Because we don't have the proper education system for it, a lot of therapists can, like especially school counselors, I've heard a lot of people invalidating the clients or the school students. So this is another example of how free therapy cannot work. So school counseling is free, but I've heard such horror stories from my clients, my young clients, of getting invalidated. The school counselors are like, stop thinking about your anxiety, or stop thinking, you don't have depression, go study, you're not studying. So you feel validated with your therapist. The therapist will also make you question your thoughts. So their job is not just to validate you. That would be a red flag if they're only validating everything you say. They're supposed to teach you that what you're feeling is valid, but it's not right in some cases. And they help you question your patterns of thinking. So those are some green flags you can look out for in a therapist.
So this has been such a huge learning for me. And there's so many things I had no idea about. And thank you so much for bringing all of these points to the forefront. But I feel like I'm not happy with this and I must shit on this in some way. So let's talk about the worst mental health myths you've heard, or, you know, this Instagram crap. Health coaches. No, mind coaches. What is that? What
life
is
coaching.
That? Oh, God. What is all of this? Let's do this. God. I'll go first, you go next, and then I say back and forth. Karenge, rapid fire karte hain. Let's talk about some incredible crap we've heard on Instagram. Mine is, you should take a cold shower instead of seeing a doctor because that will help your depression.
Oh, I have a similar one. Jumping into an ice bucket will treat your anxiety. This is so common. I don't know why people think it's going... Yeah, it will shock your system and you won't have thoughts anymore. But that doesn't mean that the anxiety will go away.
Doctors don't treat any of the actual underlying medical conditions. They just give you a band-aid. So instead, you should take a walk in nature. Which I partly agree with it. Because I mean, walking in nature will be helpful. But aisa thodi hum bevkoof thodi bana rahe hain yaar. Logon ko help karne ke liye to baithe hain. Bura lagta hai mujhe.
This is a very common, similar thing in my field as well. They go, oh, just wake up early, your depression will go away. But the thing is, a symptom of depression is not being able to wake up. So then how are you supposed to wake up at 5 a.m. and go?
And my favorite is, beta, you will stop being depressed if you stop feeling sad.
Just don't think about it. This is something everyone has heard. Yeah, if I could stop thinking about it, then it wouldn't be a problem. Like, it is a problem because I can't stop thinking about it.
This has been so wonderful. I had such a good time. Thank you so much for showing me the light about so many things I had no idea about. And thank you for coming on the podcast. It's been so wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.